Well, the Lord blessed us to see another Sunday.
Yes, sir.
And He's the only reason we see it. I wish the world could realize that, but we see some of that blindness when we're studying, as we look at Christ's ministry here on this earth before His death, burial, and resurrection. But I want to turn to the book of Luke. We'll start there this morning. Again, I thank You for those who are present. Thank You for coming and putting up with me every Sunday. And thank You for those on the internet. Every once in a while, I run into someone and they say, we watch all on the internet every Sunday. Saw somebody in the grocery store the other day, and they said, we look at you every Sunday. So that's good when the word can go out and people who can't be here can still hear the gospel. But we're going to begin today, Lord willing, in Luke in chapter number 4. We'll look at some things. We'll just kind of bring you up to where we are today as we look together. Ask You to bow with me in a word of prayer. Lord, again, we come today and we're here, Lord, because of Your marvelous grace and Your love that You have extended to us through Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. And Lord, we know that if You had not intervened in our lives, we'd have absolutely no desire to be here today. Have no desire to hear anything about You. We'd have no desire to fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, I think back over the years how many brothers and sisters in Christ that You have bless me to know because of Your blessed total church made up of the believers in this. We've had an opportunity to meet them over these years and enjoy the fellowship. Lord, this morning as we open Your precious word, we'd ask that You would walk us through it by Your precious Holy Spirit. There's not any good in us. There's not anything that we can do within ourselves that would bless these people, but Lord, but You can, through the leadership of the Holy Spirit, help me to speak those things that will uplift You and glorify You. So Your strength and Your power and Your love and Your grace and Your mercy, Your patience and Your long-suffering to Your people. So Lord, we'd ask that You would help us to be reminded of the blessings and be thankful for them daily, and help us as we study through Your word this day. And we ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, as we have been looking at the ministry of Christ, I asked you last Sunday, how many of you have ever seen Christ? Anybody in here ever seen Christ? Has anybody in here ever seen God? With physical eye. Let me add that. With physical eye. Now, if we do not have the ability with the physical eye to see Christ, then how are we going to come to know Christ? How are we going to come to know God? What must happen? Now, we've been looking at the work of the Holy Spirit, and we're going more and more into that as we study and look at this together. But what we're looking at now is during the ministry of Christ here on this earth. And we're looking at the reaction of people here on this earth. And as we look in Christ with all his miracles when he was doing his ministry here, and my thought is, but you see, we've got a lot of scripture behind us. We got a lot of God's word behind us all these years. But my first thought is, how in the world could anybody have seen Christ and followed his ministry or watched him perform all the miracles and do all the things that he did, all the preaching of the gospel in the synagogues, all those things that he did, and not realize who he was? And it's hard for me to comprehend that. But we've got to remember, they had not studied God's word like we've studied God's word for all these years. They did not have the presence of the Holy Spirit in them like we do. So now let's look back for just a moment. And last Sunday, as we finished up, you know, we were talking about, I'll touch on that in just a minute, though. But there's one thing that you can rest assured of. The devil knows what's going on. You say, wait a minute. What do you mean he knows what's going on? When Christ was born, did he try to kill him? Sure he did. So he knows who he is. He knew who he was when he was born. He knew him as a baby. And after using Herod to try to kill him, everything went quiet. We talked about the silent years of Christ, and now we've looked at it as he begins his ministry. Now, where would you and I be if you know Christ in saving grace? Where would you be this morning in your relationship with Christ without the Holy Spirit? How much do you and I need the Holy Spirit as we live our Christian lives? Now, I'm going to backtrack a little bit, but let's be reminded again that in the fourth chapter, Christ had just been baptized. The Spirit had just descended from heaven, landed on him like a dove, and he's heard the voice from heaven say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That's where we are at this moment. Now, in Luke, the fourth chapter, and we look at verse number 1, and Jesus being full of what? The Holy Ghost. Returned from Jordan and was led by what? Into where? Into the wilderness. Now, what's fixing to happen to Christ? Now, he's going to go fast for 40 days and 40 nights. And when he finished his fasting, what's the next thing that's going to take place? Satan's going to come into the picture immediately. Now, why did he not go to him in the beginning of his fasting? Why did he wait until the end of his fasting? Is he much weaker now after the 40 days of fasting? Well, he's much stronger now after 40 days of fasting. And then we look at what Satan begins to bring up before him. And it shows us that he knows everything about what Christ has been going through. And he knows that he's now at a weak point, and he knows what his weak points are. If you fasted 40 days and 40 nights, what's the first thing you'd love to have after it's over with? You kind of love to have something to eat, wouldn't you? So what does Satan go to him with? Food. He knows my weakest point in my life. He knows your weakest point in your life. And he knows exactly the moment to attack that weak point. He knows when you are the weakest. He knows that link. And that's where he attacks. But we know that what did Christ use each time? He used the scriptures. He quoted scriptures. He quoted scriptures. He quoted scripture each time. But he knew who Christ was. Now, we talked about the synagogue last Sunday and Christ going in. After the temptation, he goes into the synagogue and he begins to teach and preach in the synagogue. He said he preached the gospel in the synagogue. Now let's look for just a moment at something. We're in Luke, and you don't have to turn all the way back to Matthew. So let's look at 31 for just a minute. He said he came down from Capernaum, the city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath day. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his words were with what? Power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil. And he cried out with a loud voice. Now, we talked about this last Sunday. And I had a brother come up to me after Sunday school and said, there's a devil in church. When Christ was speaking. You reckon that's ever happened? You think on that for just a moment. We don't ever know who's sitting beside of us or across the aisle from us, do we? But the thing that I call your attention to again, here's an unclean devil. Unclean spirit, a demon of Satan. And how is he reacting to Christ? He said he cried out with a loud voice saying, let us alone. Let us alone. Why does he cry out, let us alone? Because he knows who God is too. And he knows who Christ is too. And he knows. Now, if you look back up in that 32nd verse, he said, they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And you better believe this unclean devil, this demon knows the power of God. And he knows the power of Christ. He knows who Christ is. He says, let us alone. What do we have to do with thee? What? Thou Jesus of Nazareth. He calls him by name. Art thou come, and what's the next phrase? To destroy us. You think they don't know who he is? You think they do not know his power and his authority? And do you think they do not know what their end is? What they're saying, if you come early to destroy us? I know thee, whom thou art. The who? The Holy One of God. You know, it would be nice if we had a world today that could recognize what those unclean spirits recognize right there. That he is the Holy One of God. The Son of God, you're in my Savior, and there is no other way. And of course, Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. Now, I want you to think on this for just a moment. Before you and I accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, who had a grip on us? Who was holding on to us? Satan holding on to us just like this unclean spirit. Now, I want you to look at this verse. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace, come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. I sure am glad one day when I came to Christ and acknowledged my sin, he said, devil, get out of here and leave him alone. He's mine now. He's mine now. And that authority you had over him before, you don't have over him now. But that don't mean I was perfect by any means. It just means I was forgiven. Not perfect, but forgiven. One of the days I'll be perfect. That's going to take a whole lot of work. But God can do it. So Satan knew him. The demons and devils knew him. But so many of these who he was walking with each day, and they're looking at him with a physical eye and watching him do miracle after miracle, and still don't recognize who he is. Now, I want us to go on with that thought in mind. They didn't recognize who Christ was. Now, I want you to keep that thought in mind. I also want you to keep that verse in mind. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. I want you to notice the first thing in that verse is spirit. The second in that is truth. So that's important. We get that. Lord willing, we get that. Now, look with me, if you will, over. Let's back up to John again. Let me go forward to John. I want to go to chapter number 6. Read you a few verses in chapter number 6. In verse number 22, it says, the day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereinto his disciples entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Now, Christ had been doing his ministry. He just fed the 5,000, and they've seen all these things that's been taking place. He said, howbeit there came other boats of Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread after that the Lord had given thanks. Now, I know this has reference back to when he fed the 5,000 It said they ate bread after any given thing. And it said, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, and neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. Now, what does it say they're doing? It said they're seeking for Jesus, right? But why? Well, let's go on. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, whence camest thou hither? Or when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Now, what has Christ said to them? The only reason you're seeking me is because I filled your belly, if you don't put it in just plain old everyday words. It's what you got out of me. Now, God's word said he caused it to rain on what? The just and the unjust, does it not? And here, he's fed them. And then what does he say? You didn't see me for who I am. You just see me for what I've done for you. You know, we can get caught up in that too. It's real easy to get caught up in that. How does Christ react to this? He says, labor not for meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father, what? Sealed. That's him. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. And what are they saying? What kind of works can we do that we might do the works of God? All right, Jesus is going to tell them what they can do. Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God. Pretty simple, is it not, when we read the rest of this verse? This is the work of God, that ye do what? Ye believe on him whom he hath sent. And there's step number one. Believe. And step number one will lead to all the rest of the things that God expects you and I to do as a child of his. We've got to the point, I think, in society today that, okay, the Lord saved me now. I don't have to worry about going to hell anymore. So I'm just going to coast on into heaven. Is that what God said to do? Who has God chosen to do the most precious and most important job in all the world? And that is to carry the gospel to a lost and dying world. And who has he chosen to do that? Every single solitary one of us who've been saved by his marvelous grace. I don't care who you are. You say, well, I don't have any ability to do this or that or the other. If you've got a mouth, you can tell somebody about Jesus. And you can do it on a one-on-one. You don't have to be able to preach and teach and all those things. You just tell somebody about Christ and what he's done for you. And if you don't know anything to tell somebody about what Christ has done for you when it comes to your salvation, you better check and see if you've been saved. So he said, believe. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then? Boy, that's a true Jew, is it not? Always give me a sign. Give me a sign. Well, daggone, he's been giving signs all this time. He's been walking. He just fed 5,000 people. With a handful of nothing, hardly. And see, they know the results of that because they participated in it. He said, you've come to me because I fed you. You've not been looking at the miracles and all those works that I've been doing. You just got a full stomach now. And I reckon you're looking for another meal today. Give us a sign. Show us. Thou then, that we may see. Notice that we may do what? That we may see and believe thee. What dost thou work? He said, our father did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. What's the key word in that verse? Believeth. It's all based on believing. But I say unto you that you've seen me and done what? And believe not. You've seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Now, I want you to pay close attention to this verse. I'm going to read it to you again now. All. How many is all? All is all. That's everyone, everybody, right? Says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Okay? Keep that phrase in mind. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So now, God the Father is going to give somebody to Jesus Christ. And who's that somebody? That somebody is you and I. We are part of that somebody. We are part of that all. So now whose responsibility is it to fulfill all the promises of God that come through Christ. It's Christ's responsibility. Let's keep going. We're going somewhere with it. He said, I am come down from heaven, in verse number 8, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose what? Nothing. But should raise him up again at the last day. So now whose responsibility is it to keep all those that the Father's given him? It's Jesus' responsibility. We are in his watch care. Who intervenes for us every day? Christ does. Okay? And he says now, that all which he hath given me, I should not lose nothing, but shall raise him up in the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, who's going to do the raising? Said, I'm going to raise him up in the last day. But now, let's go back and look through this verse for just a little bit. He said, and this is the will of him that sent me. Well, now, who sent him? God sent him, right? So this is God's will. So this is God's will for Christ, that everyone which seeth the Son may believe on him. Well, now, where does that put you and I? He's not walking around with us today. We can't see him with a physical eye. But what does he say here? He says you got to see him. So we're headed that way. So just keep, I'm just giving you a little thought once in a while. I'm giving you something to chew on, so to speak, okay? And see if the Son and believeth on him may have what? Everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which cometh down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whom father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. Number 44, if you mark your Bible, you better mark this one. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. I want you to notice. Draw him. Now, he says, I will raise him up at the last day. Now, who's doing the drawing here? The Father's doing the drawing. All right, now the question is, and what we're going to be looking at as we go on forward is, how does the Father do the drawing? we're talking about who then? Who is the Father of Christ? God Almighty. So who's going to be doing the drawing? God Almighty. How is God Almighty going to be doing the drawing? And that's what we're going to. That's what we're looking at. But the thing is, we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And here it says that no man comes to the Father, comes to Christ, except the Father draw him. So that's what we're going to begin to look at now. Now look with me, if you will. Look at John 8 chapter just a moment. Well, let's see what Christ says here. 8th chapter and in verse number 24. I say, and this is Christ speaking, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, and if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall what? Die in your sins. So what's the only way that anyone can escape death in their sins? The only way he escapes death in their sins is do what? Believe. But we've just read that it takes something for you and I to believe. We've just looked, it says, no man come to the Father or come to Christ unless he has drawn. So there's a drawing and there's a believing. So what we want to look at is, what's the drawing that causes the believing? And we're going to try to put all those things in order. Now, once you go all the way back, I don't have but 4 minutes. We're going to go all the way back to chapter number 3. You remember a guy called Nicodemus? It says, there was a man. There's a what? I'm going to go as far as I can with this, and wherever I stop today, we'll pick up next Sunday, Lord willing, we're all living. So, and if I'm not living next week here, I'll be living up yonder, and I'll be better off than y'all if y'all are here and I'm not, okay? There was a man. He's a man now of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. He's a ruler of the Jews. So he's... Let's say, well, maybe he's a smart man in some ways. And the same came to Jesus by night, because they didn't want them to see him, and said unto him, Rabbi, we know. What do we know? We know that thou art a teacher. But we know a little bit more about you, too. You're a teacher what? Come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. But what does he see him as? He sees him as a man. But he sees him as an unusual man. And he sees him as an unusual man because of the miracles he does, and knows he couldn't do those miracles unless God was involved some way or another. But how did Jesus react to it? Jesus answered and said to him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I'm going to stop here because it's getting, I don't need to divide this between two Sundays. But We might look at something. We might look at this thing about Nicodemus a little bit deeper. Maybe you've ever looked at it. Well, let's just hold it right there, okay? Y'all read this story sometime this week, okay? And let's talk about the response that Christ gave to Nicodemus. God bless you. Thank you for being here today.